Didn't give the guy a mic too, did they? They just gave him a guitar.
I think they just gave him a guitar. I don't think he's sang at all.
Yeah, that would seem a bit much if you pulled someone from the audience and gave him a mic and a guitar. Like the whole guitar thing, I just don't get that. There's no way they could randomly pull these people out gig after gig after gig, and like, voila, you're a guitar player, huh? Fancy the luck.
I think it's a well-known Green Day thing enough that people come in like learning Green Day songs just in case they get pulled.
They've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, at least for 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because
I saw them over 10 years ago, and they were doing this bit.
Okay, so all the, like, wannabe rock star guys buy their front row tickets.
and try to get a good
date. Okay, I got it now. That's kind
of lame.
And
some of them use that money to do bits.
That just spoils it, kind of.
How does it spoil it?
Because they're...
Well, it's not... They're not front seat people. These are general admission people in the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to fight your way up there.
Sure.
Our very own Malachi Coons, I know he likes to fight his way to the front.
You think Malachi can play guitar?
I don't know.
I don't think he can.
We'll have to hear from him in a bit. We'll see if he's listening right now.
We're going to have a station band. It'll be really bad.
I could play some drums. Here we go. Now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXC News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Governor Tim Walz extended the peacetime emergency in Beltrami County, initially issued Friday after a June 21st storm downed thousands of trees and caused widespread long-term power outages. Beltrami County Emergency Management Director Chris Muller explains what the governor's order means for response in the region.
Right now, debris removal is our top need. We have been having assistance with staffing from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, as well as other agencies that have been coming in to augment our services and support our staff so that they can get some downtime. A number of us also had impacts that we're still trying to clean up, and we're still trying to serve our community, but we also need to get a break so that we can recover in our personal lives as well.
As residents continue to work on the cleanup, Muller reminds them that most area townships aren't providing curbside pickup for tree debris.
Only the city of Bemidji and Northern Township are offering curbside pickup from private property. The rest will be responsible for getting that to the debris sites. We are still trying to figure out if there's any additional resources that may be able to assist in that process, and we will get that announced as quickly as we can make those determinations and identify those resources if they become available.
For small businesses, financial relief is also available. Greater Bemidji has launched the Bemidji Business Rebuild Program. It's a rapid response loan initiative designed to help small businesses get through the storm's aftermath. The program offers 0% interest loans up to $10,000 with no payments required in the first year. Executive Director Dave Hengel says this could help cover urgent needs such as insurance deductibles and temporary relocation costs.
Boy, we're hearing a lot, and certainly, of course, there's the physical damages, lots of roof damages, damages to buildings, but the other part is the loss of produce, loss of food, loss of inventory that might have got damaged.
Hengel says the rapid response loans can help cover those costs that may not be covered by insurance. Interested businesses should contact Hengel at Greater Bemidji for more information. Partners in the program include the city, the chamber, the Northwest Minnesota Foundation, and the Headwaters Regional Development Commission. Food will no longer be shipped from the Second Harvest Food Bank in Grand Rapids after the organization decided to consolidate to one warehouse in Duluth. Megan Buffington has the story.
Second Harvest stresses that its Grand Rapids food shelf remains open, and the organization says the operational change won't affect the quantity, quality, or variety of food. Second Harvest Northland is the second largest food bank operation in the state, distributing food to partner agencies in 15 counties across northeast Minnesota and northwest Wisconsin. The Duluth and Grand Rapids branches merged last year to become Second Harvest Northland. Before the merger, the Duluth branch bought a massive warehouse. The organization says a statewide study revealed excess warehouse space in northern Minnesota, and they chose to consolidate the two food banks in the name of efficiency. Second Harvest says the move will save them $300,000 a year. Leaders say they want to reinvest that money into Grand Rapids, and they're currently surveying food shelf visitors to figure out how to spend it. Director of Philanthropy Tricia Zimmerman says there's no hard date for that investment, but it is their goal.
Now, in saying that, you know that there's always I mean, we're dealing with inflation just like everybody else.
Some volunteers are expressing concerns about the needs of the community being met, with food coming from Duluth and the food shelf having access to less storage space. A Grand Rapids volunteer says they don't have faith Second Harvest will follow through on the reinvestment commitment. The volunteer asked to remain anonymous. They say they haven't seen a lot of transparency or willingness to work with the community. Second Harvest has repeatedly reaffirmed its commitment to the local community and that the warehouse change will not impact local programming. The Grand Rapids Food Shelf is open Mondays and Wednesdays 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and Fridays 9 a.m. to noon. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
And that is the Up North Report, local news from our region. Coming up next, we're going to hear more from Morning Edition, talking about the new tax and spending bill and the Freedom Caucus. They'll be coming up in just a bit. We receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward.
And we'd like to thank the Bagley Area Arts Collaborative, offering workshops in July, including Batik with Diane, July 9th through July 11th, and Watercolor Impression Loose and Free, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. More information and registration at bagleyarts.org or on Facebook.
And we've got some live music going on today, Wednesday, July 7th. Mike Mraz at Big Axe Brewing in Nisswa at 5 p.m. Kitschy Boogie at the Paul and Babe Statue in Bemidji at 6 p.m. And Mark Joseph and American Soul at Zorba's in Park Rapids at 9 p.m. And looking at weather today, sunny skies, highs near 85 degrees. Chance of showers late this morning. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 60. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to high 80s. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then Friday, it's going to be a hot one. Highs 88 to 92 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms likely. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour and gusting higher. Now from Morning Edition.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel in New York City.
And I'm A. Martinez in Culver City, California. President Trump's massive tax and spending bill has passed a major hurdle. Vice President Vance broke a tie in the Senate, and the legislation now goes back to the House for final approval. Now, despite policy concerns, Republicans largely rallied behind the bill and the president to seemingly give him the win.
It's a great bill. There is something for everyone. And I think it's going to go very nicely in the House. Actually, I think it will be easier in the House than it was in the Senate.
NPR senior national political correspondent Mara Liasson joins us now to discuss the politics around this. So, Mara, just to be clear, nothing official about President Trump's 4th of July deadline for this, right? So even though the bill hasn't gotten past the finish line yet, would you consider this a win for the president so far?
Yes, I do. This was a win for the president, especially because he had such a narrow margin in the Senate. He could only afford to lose three votes. He lost three votes, and J.D. Vance had to break the tie. The bill still has to pass the House, and there are a lot of hurdles there to overcome. But the president has a very firm grip on his party, and this bill includes almost his entire legislative agenda packed into one vehicle.
Yeah. Okay. So a win, but still disagreement within the party, though. Where has been the tension for Republicans?
Yes, that's right. There are a lot of Republicans in the House, conservative Republicans, fiscal hawks, who don't like the fact that the Senate bill adds trillions more dollars to the deficit than their original bill. There are also moderate Republicans from high-tax blue states who don't like the way the Senate bill treats the deduction for state and local taxes. So there are lots of hurdles in the House, but the president has made this personal. He said that a vote against this bill would be considered a betrayal. And in the Trump era, if you are a Republican and you vote against the president, you do so at your own political peril. He's made very clear he'll go after anyone who doesn't vote with him. He'll back primary challenges to Republicans.
All right. So assuming it does pass both chambers and President Trump signs this into law, is this something that's going to be popular with Americans?
Well, that is the big political question. We know so far from polling that voters don't like the idea of cutting taxes for billionaires and paying for them by taking people off of Medicaid. Every independent analysis has said that this bill would add trillions to the deficit, and it's skewed to the wealthy, and it could push nearly 12 million people off of Medicaid. We know there are a lot of Trump voters, blue-collar voters on Medicaid. One of the reasons is that Obamacare was a giant Medicaid expansion bill. That's why people like Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina decided to end his career, not run again. Instead of bucking Trump, he has said that Republicans are making a dangerous political decision by cutting Medicaid because Democrats are going to run against this bill, saying it hurts working families in order to help billionaires.
So what will the Republican counterargument be?
Republicans are going to say, we made sure you didn't get a tax hike. That's because this bill extends the tax cuts that Trump put in place in his first term when he passed a similar tax cut bill. And that might be a hard argument to deliver because people aren't going to see much difference in their tax bills. But in the first term, Trump's tax bill was very unpopular. It's one of the reasons that Trump lost the House in the first term, and it is bound to become a frontline issue in the upcoming midterm elections.
So one more thing, because President Trump apparently has a feud with Elon Musk that is on and off, and now it's on again, I think. So yes. tell us about what's happening there. Yeah.
On again, the Musk-Trump feud continues. Musk has been very critical of this bill because how much it adds to the deficit. He's called the GOP the Porky Pig Party. He said that it cuts investments in green energy. Of course, that would include the EV subsidies that help people buy Teslas, Musk's company. Trump says Musk is just looking out for his own business interests. He says that he might have to take a look at all of the money that Musk gets from the government. He said he would even, quote, take a look at deporting Elon Musk. So we don't know what Musk will do with his money in the 2026 elections. He spent almost $300 million to help Trump get elected in 2024.
That's NPR's Mara Liasson. Thanks, Mara.
Thank you.
The passage of the budget in the House could hinge on getting the most fiscally conservative wing of the Republican Party fully on board, the Freedom Caucus. That was co-founded by Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, and he joins us now. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I want to start with what we just heard there. Is this bill a political risk for the Republicans? Are you on board, and do you plan to vote for it?
I do plan to vote for it. I think it is good legislation. I've said many times, you know, it's a good bill because the left hates it. The left hates it because it actually empowers people, empowers families, doesn't empower government. And Mara Liasson just talking about how, you know, she thought it hurt working families. I think it helps working families because it lets them keep more of their money. It says that we're also going to build into the tax code a school choice component, which is total parent empowerment, helping them decide where they can send their kid to get the best education. And then I think it also is fair to taxpayers in that it says we're going to have a work requirement. If you're an able-bodied adult and you're getting help from the taxpayers in one of our social welfare programs, then you're going to have to work. And that is just good common sense. That is fair to taxpayers. That's good for our economy. Most importantly, I think it's good for that individual. It gets them on the right path where they're doing work and going to be moving to a better
jump
position
in here.
Life.
I mean,
so for
not
all those reasons, I think it's good.
Right. It's not just the left, though, that has criticisms of this bill. There are Republicans who have concerns around the cuts to Medicaid, and there are also Republicans within your caucus that have real concerns about the fact that the deficit will grow over the next decade, according to the Congressional Budget Office. I mean, do you want to see it reworked to address this? Because I know you are very concerned about debt and the country's growing debt.
Yeah. Well, I wish we were cutting more and saving more, but you have to look at the lay of the land. We got a 3-seat majority in the Senate. We got a small majority in the House. In order to get the votes together to pass something, you got to give. And this is, I think, the best possible position we could get, as evidenced by the fact that it was a 50-50 tie, and of course the vice president had to break the tie in the
right.
Senate. And two of the three who voted against it were voting against it from not because it didn't cut enough and save enough and help with the deficits and the debt. They voted against it for what, you know, people would call moderate or more liberal reasons in Senator
overcuts
Collins
to Medicaid, because there are concerns. It will cut to about 12 million people are expected to lose insurance over the onerous paperwork under this bill. That was the concern there. But in, you know, we heard from your colleague, Congressman Andy Harris of Maryland, on Fox News recently, and I just want to play with you what he said.
We support the president's agenda. The president's agenda was not to raise the deficit by $750 billion over the next 10 years. The bottom line is now the House is going to have its say. This is not going to sail through the House. We're going to have to negotiate with the Senate one more time. And that's just appropriate. That's the way the legislative process works and the way it should work on a bill of this size.
Are you having conversations with Congressman Harris about this? And do you want to see some reworking or will the House be able to pass it without that?
I'm hopeful that we can pass it. I have had conversations with Chairman Harris and other members of the Freedom Caucus and just members of our entire conference, Republican conference. Mm-hmm. But I think this bill is, and I look sometimes at just who voted for it. I mean, Senator Johnson, Senator Lee, Senator Lummis, Senator Scott, Senator Cruz, all kinds of conservative senators voted for this package. It's pretty darn good. It cuts taxes for families. It has a work requirement for able-bodied adults in our welfare system. It says that we're going to make sure there are resources to keep our borders secure. And it also builds in this school choice component in our tax code. Those are fundamental Republican positions. Any one of those positions in and of themselves, by themselves, we would vote for that legislation. But somehow when it's put together in a big package, you have people who don't want to vote for it because it doesn't cut enough spending. As I said before, I wish we were reducing spending more. But overall, this is a good piece of legislation that does exactly what we told the voters we were going to do when we ran for the job last November.
Will you meet the deadline, the July 4th deadline, do you think?
I hope so. I mean, I think it's, you know, a lot going to depend on what happens on this first vote, whenever that takes place today on the rule for bringing up the legislation on the floor. So that's going to happen sometime later this morning, maybe this afternoon. I think it depends on that, but I hope so. I hope we can get it passed before July 4th.
And really quickly, what are you saying to people like Congressman Harris right now? How are the negotiations going? We have about 20 seconds.
I'm saying the same thing I said there. And I think sometimes, too, you got to look at momentum is important in politics, just like in sports. And right now, the momentum is on our side. We have the border that's now secure. We have the successful Iran operation. You have what President Trump negotiated with
NATO.
Unfortunately,
we'll have to leave it there. We're running out of time. Jim Jordan is a Republican member of the House from Ohio and a co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus. Thank you so much for your time. Fans of Tiny Chef are rising up to protest Nickelodeon's decision to cancel the 7-inch Stars show. If you have no idea what that means, NPR's Elizabeth Blair is here to fill you in.
Tiny Chef is like a cross between the Pillsbury Doughboy and a Despicable Me minion.
It's donuts!
The stop-motion animation figure slices, dices, and bakes with glee with his tiny tools in his tiny kitchen. He loves to sing and dance. And he gets emotional when the network that carries his show calls him on his teeny tiny cell phone.
Canceled? Bloody me, canceled.
When he hangs up, he sits on his tiny bed and cries.
That did something to me. It's like deep.
Miss Taz was one of thousands of fans who took to social media using the hashtag SaveTinyChef.
Now, how does that not pull at your heartstrings? Nickelodeon.
Fan Jonathan Branson started a petition on change.org that has more than 10,000 signatures.
He made me smile on days, you know, that I didn't feel like smiling. So it just really disheartened me when I seen that, you know, they canceled his show.
Nickelodeon has not responded to NPR's request for comment. Fans have protested show cancellations before. They were outraged when Fox canceled the sitcom Brooklyn Nine-Nine. NBC quickly picked it up. In TV lore, fans were responsible. Turned out the NBC deal was in the works before the fan campaign. And then there's Family Guy.
Everybody, I got bad news. We've been canceled.
But then its fan base grew through reruns on Cartoon Network and DVD sales, so Fox brought Family Guy back.
This is NPR News.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday morning show. I'm Andrew DeZingle here.
Turn my mic on.
And we are, that's DJ Dang, of course, and we are your Wednesday morning show crew. In just a bit, we're going to be joined by the Bemidji JCs to talk about the 81st Wildfire Carnival. So, anyway, how are you doing, DJ Dang?
I'm doing great. I shared with you, I'll just share it now instead of when the Bemidji JCs person gets here, but one of my first memories of Bemidji was coming into town during the Water Carnival and driving down by the lakefront and seeing like 6 or 7 juggalos.
Oh.
Because we should make it a trivia thing. If you know what a juggalo is, text us at 218-326-1234 if you know what a juggalo is. But I felt it kind of made me more curious about Bemidji when I saw the juggalos.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, there's some bold, different people up here. I like that. Because you got to be bold, and you're definitely different if you're rocking the juggalo thing out in public. You agree?
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, yeah, full on. It's not. There's no half-stepping, right?
Yeah, either you're in or you're out.
Yeah, yeah. So I have respect for that.
Okay. And you moved here.
And then I moved here. Yes, I owe it all to the juggalos. If you know what a juggalo is, text us at 218-326-1234.
So, also while you're texting us, we also have our question of the week. Have you ever been in a parade? Tell us about any memorable experiences. You can text us at 218-326-1234. Dang, have you been in a parade?
I was in a parade a couple times in the May Day parade down in the south side of Minneapolis.
Did you get to throw candy or anything?
No, it was more of a... Oh, actually, so speaking of that, yeah, I was in the Night We Light parade before KBXE existed as a studio. And like the studio, the building, none of this had happened yet, but we were creating awareness around the coming of the station of KBXE, of the second part of the KXE, KBXE two-headed monster. So we were in the Night We Light parade throwing out candy at that one. But in the May Day parade, no, we just kind of... It was like a pirate move. We just jumped in from the sidelines of the parade, and some people got mad at us, but it was okay. It was fun. It's a great parade.
There's no rules for a parade, I guess.
Well, for the May Day parade especially.
I've been in a ton of parades.
Ton?
Yeah.
Whoa.
In my hometown, I was like in one in every year.
Okay.
I was always in one for my dad worked at a lumberyard and would have a float for that. Been on that numerous times, throwing fruit seed candies and whatnot.
Fruit seed?
Fruitsies?
Fruitsies?
Yeah. You know, like those Tootsie Rolls?
Fruitsies? Oh, yeah.
The fruit ones?
Yep.
They're so delicious.
Okay.
And then I've been one for the football team in high school, which was, what a waste of time. No one's excited to see
were
that.
Were you wearing your pads and helmet?
No, we were all just wearing our jerseys and jeans, I guess.
No one was excited to see you, even though you won 5 state championships in a row.
Yeah. Who cares?
Well, now, yes. But in the moment, it must have had some value.
Well, by the summer, it's like, oh, what have you guys done lately? I feel like, what's the vibe?
Come work at my farm.
But I also did one for I was in the summer musical community play of, it was like this musical review show of playing like 50s and 60s songs. And I was going to be Buddy Holly and do That'll Be the Day. So they had me sit in the back of an old red Ford truck, dressed up like Buddy Holly with a guitar.
Glasses.
And the speakers from the car were playing That'll Be the Day over and over and over again.
So you were
lip
syncing.
And I was lip syncing the whole parade just to That'll Be the Day over and over again.
Did it get old?
Oh, well, no, it was fun. I love having attention.
You were in your element. If you would have known Wonderwall, would you have started singing Wonderwall instead of That'll Be the Day?
I mean, I would have known Wonderwall back then, but I wouldn't have been able to play it on guitar, which is a big part of it.
You're missing the point of the question. What? Would you have derailed the moment by singing some other song that you were a bigger fan of?
I don't think I could have sang over the speakers.
That's true. But then everyone would have noticed that you weren't actually lip syncing. They would have been like, he's not saying That'll Be the Day. He's singing After All, You're My Wonderwall.
True.
Anyways.
So are you a Buddy Holly guy?
Sure.
I got really into him because I had to, you know, get into character.
Yeah. No, he's great.
There was this great compilation that came out years ago. It was called Rave On, and it was a bunch of artists covering Buddy Holly songs.
Yeah.
So it was like Modest Mouse, Florence Plus the Machine, She and Him.
Oh, okay.
Black Keys were on there, too.
Cool.
And that was super fun record, and that came out, I want to say around the time I got into Buddy Holly, but...
Yeah. He's got a pretty wild array of, like, sounds for rock and roll. Like that Roller Coaster song.
roller coaster
What's
song.
Every day. What's that called?
It's called Every Day.
Okay.
Why are you calling it a roller coaster song?
Because he says love is like a roller coaster. Why don't you listen to the lyrics?
Oh.
Yeah. Don't at me, buddy.
I don't know about this.
Come on. If you know what a juggalo is, text us at 218-326-1234.
And if you think Buddy Holly's Every Day is a roller coaster song, let us know. 218-326-1234. Now it's time for From the Vault. DJ Dane, do you want to introduce what you picked?
I picked a song by Taj Mahal, which I almost wasn't going to do it because Taj Mahal has a brand new record out with Kevmo, and it's a really good record, but he's amazing. He's kind of one of those guys that's been around for decades and decades and just consistently has put out dope music. And this song, I was at a local cafe maybe 6-7 years ago, and I think something with their, however they were playing music, I think they were using a service, it broke and the song was on repeat. So it was like, it was looped and it was amazing. And it was this song that we're going to hear now, Queen Bee by Taj Mahal. And it went on for like 20 minutes. And I was like, this is incredible. Is this a remix of this song? Like, is this Daft Punk like remixing Taj Mahal? Like, this is cool. And it just kept, it's got this real loping vibe to it. And it's an amazing song. And hearing it back to back to back to back to back to back over 15 or 20 minutes was really a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
As I ate amazing. My breakfast burrito.
All right. Well, let's hear it. We're not going to play it for 20 minutes, though.
Right.
Make my zone. Oh, she
Taj Mahal, Queen Bee. What'd you think, Andrew?
I really enjoyed that song.
Got that steel drum on there, too. It's a nice touch.
Yeah, you can enjoy a nice breakfast burrito to that song.
We had a few texts in our text line. We one texter just sent us the cryptic message, whoop, whoop. And even I did not know what that was about, and you had to tell me, Andrew, what does that signify?
Yeah, it's from the Juggalos thing.
So that's a Juggalos signifier? Is that how they, like, call out to each other? Or is it a call and response with the band?
It's just like their kind of thing, whoop, whoop.
And we asked the texter to tell us more, and they responded that they are shouting out all the Juggalos out there. And I know we have a huge Juggalo listening audience right now, right this moment.
Yes, we do.
Don't doubt it.
We also heard from Mary Mitchell. My North Dakota license plate was Rave On. Hardly anyone understood. That's, of course, reference to Buddy Holly's classic tune, Rave On. So we get it.
We get it, Mary.
Yeah, we understand. We had a few other texts, but for some reason they all disappeared on us.
Yeah, Jim, we got your text, but it disappeared. So if you want to send us a message again, what's that dinging?
I don't know. It sounds like it's coming from you.
It's you.
It's not me.
God dang it. I have my phone on silence.
Well, it's not me.
Okay, if you say so.
Is it your computer?
Could be.
All right. As we figure that out, it is, of course, now time for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, July 2nd. First up, we got Randy Rowan from Bovee turning 86 today. Happy birthday. Doug Brown from Balsam turning 18. Happy birthday, Doug. And happy birthday to George Brown, also in Balsam, turning 18 today. Happy birthday.
And Judy Vogelsang is turning 78. She is from Fargo. Happy birthday, Judy. Terry McCarty is turning 16. And Mary Jensen from Cass Lake, it is her 65th birthday. Happy birthday to you all.
And now we're going to play a tune for all the birthday people today. This is a new one from David Byrne. You may recognize that name from the Talking Heads. Mm-hmm. This song is called Everybody Laughs.
One, two, three, and... Everybody laughs and everybody cries. Everybody lives and everybody dies. Everybody eats and everybody loves. Everybody knows what everybody does. Everybody's going through the changes. Every complication. What you say with gesture and expression. In my imagination. Every mobile phone, in every restaurant, everyone we know, and everything you want. Everybody wonders what you're gonna do. Everything is closer, everything is true. Everybody's starting everything again. Everybody's outside now, they're coming in. Everybody's going through the garbage, looking for inspiration. Some will find it staring at the ceiling of the subway station. Everyone you love, in every kind of way, everything you know, and every single face. Every change of heart, and every saving grace, every song we sing, and every kind of play. Everybody's asking, everybody please. Everybody's going everywhere at once. Everybody's backside, everybody's front. Hey, 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 hey,
And that was David Byrne and Ghost Train Orchestra with the song Everybody Laughs from his upcoming album, Who is the Sky? If you have a birthday or an anniversary you'd like to share with us today, text 218-326-1234. And I just want to say that we had a few texts. So if we didn't read your text, something has gone on with our text machine.
Yes,
so
text machine.
It's not you guys.
We have a machine here. Maybe I unplugged the text machine.
Did you reboot it?
I'll check. Yes. You have to wind the generator up to get more texts.
That's DJ Dang. I'm Andrew DeZingle. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. In just a bit, we're going to hear more from Morning Edition, talking about the Dalai Lama succession.
We receive support from the Grand Rapids Farmers Market, open Wednesdays and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the intersection of Golf Course Road and Pokegama Avenue, offering an EBT double match and many more programs, bringing produce to members of our community. More at grfarmersmarket.org.
And support for KAXE comes from the Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, featuring Martini Monday each week from 5 to 8 p.m. Information about this summer's Martini Monday music series is available at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com.
And we'd like to thank Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, offering fiber optic fast internet speeds up to 10 gig and GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi, featuring Wi-Fi 6 technology to support devices wirelessly. Paul Bunyan Communications, it's right here.
Now more from Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm E. Martinez.
And I'm Leila Faldin. The Dalai Lama, the leader of Tibetan Buddhism, turns 90 on Sunday. Today, from his home in exile in India, the Dalai Lama said that after he dies, he will be reincarnated outside China, and that no one else can get in the way of that. This is at the heart of a long-running dispute between him and the Chinese government, which claims authority over the Dalai Lama's succession. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has reported on Tibet for us for many years, and he joins us now from Tokyo to talk about this. Good morning, Anthony.
Hi, Leila.
So what did the Dalai Lama say?
Well, he met with senior monks from different Tibetan Buddhist sects in Dharamsala, India today, and then he read a statement that addresses the question of whether or not he should reincarnate, which in Tibetan Buddhism is something that the Dalai Lama and other high-ranking lamas get to choose. Why wouldn't he reincarnate? Well, he's been in exile in India since 1959. The chances of him ever returning to Tibet are slim, and he wants to protect the institution of the Dalai Lama from political interference. Okay. So he decided that the Tibetan people want him to be reincarnated, and he's going to do it. And the process of recognizing the next Dalai Lama will be handled by his office, and nobody else gets to interfere.
What was China's response to this?
They have been saying for a long time that the Dalai Lama is not who he appears to be. He's a political exile, he's a separatist, and he's not qualified to represent the Tibetan people. So today, a foreign ministry spokesperson said that China passed a law in 2007 that says the process of finding and recognizing high-ranking lamas' reincarnations has to take place in China, and it must be approved by the central government. So basically, they're saying that the Dalai Lama should stick to Tibetans' own religious rules, even though the two sides don't exactly agree what they are.
Okay, I mean, this sounds confusing. Could China then appoint its own Dalai Lama, and then there's two?
Yes, that could actually happen. And in fact, okay, there are already two rival Panchen Lamas and Karmapa Lamas, who are the second and third highest ranking clerics in Tibetan Buddhism. And each one of them is recognized by the Dalai Lama and the Chinese government separately. And Beijing says that their Panchen Lama gets to pick the next Dalai Lama. So I asked Lobsang Sangay about this. He's a visiting senior fellow at Harvard Law School, and he's the former president of the Tibetan government in exile. Here's what he said.
It is a matter of faith, something personal, something deep from your heart. So yes, Chinese government will have fake Panchen Lama appointing fake Dalai Lama, and Tibetans will see that boy, unfortunately, a Tibetan, as a fake one.
Okay, I mean, China...
He's saying that it's a clear choice for most Tibetans.
Okay. Now, China's ruling Communist Party is officially atheist. Why are they getting involved, and whose soul goes where?
They don't get down to it at that level, but they're claiming the secular authority to approve the selection of all religious leaders. So they have a similar problem with the Catholic Church over whether the Vatican or Beijing gets to approve new bishops. Both Buddhists and Catholics try to work with Beijing on this, but none of them wants to give up the final say.
That's NPR's Anthony Kuhn joining us from Tokyo. Thank you.
Thank you, Layla.
Right, you're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. That was Morning Edition from National Public Radio. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with DJ Dang.
Good morning.
And right now, the Bemidji JC's 81st Annual Water Carnival begins today. And joining us now to talk more about it is the president of the Bemidji JC's, Larissa Donovan.
Hello, you might recognize me also from news. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. That's where I know you.
Not in your current outfit.
No, no.
With your sailor's cap and your...
I'm taking this
The future's so bright I have to wear shades jacket.
Yes, yes. I have the official Bemidji JC's Boom Crew jacket on. I've helped coordinate the fireworks show for a few years now every year. So I now have the official jacket and I'm very, very stoked about
that. I think
that
jacket has a 50-mile radius visibility.
Yeah, they should see me.
So the carnival kicks off today. What are we doing to kick off the water carnival?
What are we doing? Well, we've already kicked off the water carnival starting Monday with our medallion hunt. I haven't checked my phone since I hopped on with you fine gentlemen, but it is still out there. You can check out the clues at the Bemidji JC's website, BemidjiJC's.com, or head on over to our Facebook page and see if you can deduce the location.
Is there a clue a day?
Yeah, there is a clue a day.
Okay, so when are the clues released?
Usually around 8.
Okay.
So is there a new medallion every day? Like, when you find it, do you just take it?
You just take it?
Yeah, the
You're
medallion.
You're just going to take it?
Well, what are You're you supposed
gonna...
to do?
Take a picture of it?
No, you absolutely do not take a picture of it. If I find out you have, I will take your phone and delete all the pictures and then delete the deletes.
If you found it, you found it. Why wouldn't you take a picture?
If you want the $500 prize, you call the number on the medallion to claim it. So if you bought one of the medallion hunt buttons, which are no longer for sale, good luck. You could double your prize to $500, and if you find it without your medallion hunt button, the prize is only $250. But you still want that money more than the medallion.
That's good info, because I would be snatching that medallion, then wandering the streets of downtown Bemidji going, what do I do with it now?
So if Dan happens to stumble upon it, and I don't get any calls back, I'll just figure that was you. Okay.
So how... because. The medallion hunt thing has been happening for a while. Isn't it getting difficult to find new places to hide the medallion?
Yes.
Have you tried to hide it in plain sight?
Yes. I've tried everything. This town is quite clever. Usually they find it on day 3.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I torment myself usually writing 7 poetic clues that never see the light of day. But it's fine. I'm not hostile about it.
I think you could probably hide it in any boulevard in the city right now, and it'd be very hard to find.
We can't hide it in tree debris, Dan. There's rules we have to
follow.
Make
a positive out of the storm. You are.
And I appreciate that very much. But no, we won't make you climb or dig or chainsaw to find the medallion.
So what else is going on today?
Well, today is a really big day. The carnival officially kicks off. Miriam's Midway will open at the Sanford Center site, and we have Bemidji Corral running bingo games. Tonight, that all starts at 6. And then later on tonight, around dusk, we have our Red, White, and Boom fireworks show. That's why I have such a bright jacket, because I'll be on the docks ordering everybody around. It's a really good use of my skills, Dan.
I think they could put you on like a trampoline or parachute, and with that jacket, you'd be part of the fireworks.
Yeah.
You'd be like, whoa, look at that bright thing in the sky.
So are you the person that's like, all right, fireworks are a go, 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 go?
Well, we wait till all our perimeter crew boats are in position, and then we used to have to wait till the 10 p.m.-ish flight got done.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Wow, why do you not wait for that flight anymore?
Don't worry about it. No. But just because we used to be right where the Mississippi Current kind of is at, but now we're kind of closer to shore off the Nymor Landing, and it isn't as much of a of a descending flight issue anymore where we launch the fireworks now.
If you say so.
So you mentioned this earlier. Some things had to change because of the storm happening. So what are some of those changes you had to make?
So we, the JCs, we met with the city of last week and kind of made some mutual decisions that maybe it would be best if we did not put up the giant circus entertainment tent down at the waterfront this year. Over the past, like the last 2 days of last week, we managed to find alternative venues for almost all of our events. So we're really excited that, you know, our community's supportive of us and, you know, helping us pull this thing off, even if we got to spread it over more locations than usual. All our live music has been moved to the Loft Event Center downtown, which is the former Elks Lodge, of course, where we had our
Chastity Brown.
Get downtown with KBXE.
Get downtown with KBXE. Exactly. I was thinking of the name. I was thinking of the other thing we did in May, too, and I was mixing them up. But thank you, Andrew.
If you bring an umbrella and Larissa's there, watch out.
Watch
out. She likes
out.
To take them.
I accidentally took Andrew's blue umbrella instead of grabbing my slightly worse blue umbrella. I had my hands full and a child. It was madness.
Andrew's not letting go of that. Clearly.
He won't. I did bring it back, but I still won't be forgiven. But yes.
Larissa, what is the mission of the JCs?
Well, the mission statement is leadership development through community service. We're a group, like our active members are 18 to 40, but we have a lot of alumni and associates past the age of 40 who help us run these events. Basically, we're trying to give younger people the leadership skills to make a difference in their community. And I think I learned a lot, even though I was a journalist when I started. I have a lot more interesting relationships with city officials now because I'm also working on this stuff with them.
That sounds like a whole separate interview.
Yeah.
So how, like, why is it important to keep doing, like, with everything that's been going on in Bemidji, why is it important to, like, keep going on with, like, doing something like the Water Carnival?
Well, I think it's really important to give our town a sense of normalcy and also, you know, give our hardworking kids who've been picking up sticks at their parents' houses and their grandma's houses and stuff, they deserve to go on the ride. So I hope you've been paying those stick-picking up kids.
Get them on a ride.
Yeah, get them on the ride. It'll be it. But really, our goal was to bring a sense of normalcy and to celebrate our incredibly resilient community, even if we had to make some hard and fast adjustments. But we managed to find alternative venues for most of this stuff. The Grand Parade route on Sunday, it's going to be a little shorter because the route has a lot of tree and debris on it still. But we are confident we'll be able to pull it from 8th Street down Beltrami to at least 4th. I'm working on adding an extra block down there and then turning west and then heading back north on Minnesota.
So where can people find a current up-to-date event schedule for
yes.
the Water Carnival?
So we've been deleting all our old posters and putting up our new ones at BemidjiJCs.com. You can Google Bemidji JCs Water Carnival. I believe we've topped the algorithm on that. And then also our Facebook pages that we've been posting all our updated events, locations, times, etc.
So what are some other highlights you're looking forward to this week?
Well, I always look forward to the fireworks show. That, of course, is tonight at dusk. I love seeing the live music. We have we brought a few events over to our friends in Nymoor, too.
Wow.
So we've got a Veterans Picnic and an Elvis Tribute Friday the 4th at the Eagles Club. And then we have a cornhole tournament at the Nymoor Classic, the Garden Pub and Eatery. That's Saturday the 5th, starting at 1 p.m.
Shout out to Nymoor.
That's how we do it in Nymoor, folks.
So you mentioned all the music has been moved to the Loft Event Center. Are the bands all starting at the same time each night?
Corey's starting at 7, but Prairie on Thursday.
So, yeah, give us the rundown of who's
yeah.
playing when.
Corey Medina and Brothers will play 7 to 10. We have Prairie
Thursday.
We have Prairie Smoke playing Friday the 4th. That's 6 to 10. And then we have this band out of Duluth, Indecent Proposal. They'll be playing Saturday the 5th, 6 to 10. We are asking a $10 cover charge, and we're also putting out some buckets for United Way Disaster Relief Fund. So come out, party with us, and then help out your neighbors in need. It'll be a good time.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Larissa, for joining us and letting us know about all these changes and for your hard work of adapting in this situation. Like, that could not have been easy.
No, it was not easy, Andrew. But, you know, we could be pretty convincing when we put our minds to it, right?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Just watch out for your umbrellas.
Yeah, watch out for your umbrellas, Andrew.
I kid, of course. All right, now it's time. We're going to play a tune for you. This is a new one from the Haim album, I Quit. This song is called Lucky Stars. And that was a new tune from Haim from their new album, I Quit. That song was called Lucky Stars. And yeah, this is the fourth album from the trio of sisters produced by Rostam Batmanjili from, he used to be in Vampire Weekend.
Oh, really?
And now we had a couple solo albums here at the station of his. I really enjoy his solo stuff.
Okay.
And produced by Daniel Haim.
Nice.
And that is DJ Dang. I'm Andrew DeZingle. We are your Wednesday morning show crew. And in a bit, we're going to be talking with some people about the kind of the kind of aftermath of feeling of loss.
The emotional toll.
Yeah, of a storm that we had last week in Bemidji. So we're going to be talking about that. But first, let's talk some music. This day in music history.
Ooh.
Because Dang and I were big music fans.
True.
And did you know today, in 1962, Jimi Hendrix was honorably discharged from the Army after serving for 3 years?
I didn't know that.
The reason for his discharge is unsuitability as his superiors agree he will never be a good soldier, in part because he's more interested in his guitar than his rifle.
Yes, Jimmy. Well done. I thought it was because he's left-handed.
Also, this one, you're, I don't know how you're going to react to this one. So Tesla, the band,
oh, no.
In 1990, records their album Five Man Acoustical Jam live at the Trocadero Theater in Philadelphia, and their cover of Signs becomes a surprise hit and catalyzes an acoustic rock trend, with MTV's Unplugged series delving more rock acts soon after. What do you remember from that trend in the early 90s when, like, hair metal bands were doing, like, these acoustic songs? I'm thinking of that song, like, More Than Words, I think, by Extreme.
I think I liked those bands better doing acoustic versions of their
really?
Songs.
Really? This is a surprise.
They had to tone it down. It wasn't all, like, tongue sticking out of the mouth, wheedly, wheedly guitar solos forever. You know, like, they just showed us the songs.
Uh-huh.
And I could dig that better, even though I probably still didn't like the songs very much. But it just seemed more like a regular musical thing instead of a big hairspray performance.
What about, like, the did you enjoy MTV Unplugged series?
I probably didn't have a TV during that era, so.
But you had to have known about, like, at least Nirvana's.
Yeah MTV, but I think the Nirvana one I only got in hindsight. I think the Minutemen did one too. It was really good.
Minutemen did?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
And it might be from a different show, but they did an acoustic thing similar to MTV Unplugged.
Well, I know the Meat Puppets played with Nirvana. Is that who you're thinking of?
No. It might not be MTV Unplugged. It might have been a different show. But yeah, I appreciate when bands can strip down to acoustic instruments and still pull it off, because that's kind of like the real deal.
I believe Kiss did one, and they had Ace Frehley and Peter Criss join them for a couple songs.
Well, they're in Kiss. Why would they not join them?
Okay, you don't know about this? They weren't in Kiss in the 80s for a while?
No.
What? You don't know about this?
No.
And then they reunited, and then Tupac Shakur at the Grammys introduced the four of them back in the makeup.
That's
at the
crazy.
Grammys.
Tupac. Oh,
I've watched
gosh.
Kiss Beyond the Makeup so many times. I taped it on TV. And I would just sit in the basement watching it over and over and over again.
Oh, my.
I'm nope. part of the Kiss Army.
Never seen it. I had no idea. We received support from Hot Tubs in Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
And programming on KAXE KBXE is supported in part by the Minnesota Board on Aging's Legal Kiosk, offering no-charge assistance with housing benefits, custody, and more. Legal Kiosk, located in libraries and local trusted community spaces, connect Minnesotans with legal information and virtual meeting access. In some locations, court forms can be printed at no cost. Help is available in many languages. More online at legalkiosks.org.
So what do we got coming up in the next hour? We're talking to somebody from the University of Minnesota Extension Forestry.
Yep, and then someone from the Headwaters Unitarian, well, Huff, we're going to be talking with some people from there, talking about kind of the efforts of getting the community together after a storm like we had last week.
Cool. Do we have an area of voices this morning?
There's no area of voices this morning.